Last summer, Marie put out a request for anyone who was interested in a UU prison pen pal. I thought to myself, this might be interesting. I mean, I like Orange is the New Black. I even got to meet Piper Kernan, the woman who wrote the book after spending a year in prison. She's now a prison reform advocate. You can check out her signed copy in the Jam Library. Okay, back to the pen pal. I thought, yeah, let's give it a whirl. I had pen pals at camp as a kid, and I love getting mail, not just Burger King coupons or bills. So I wrote my letter to the UUA, CLF, or Church of the Larger Fellowship, and connected with Russ, an inmate at Waupun. He's been a UU for 19 years. We're both artists and practice meditation and love food. I have enjoyed his letters for over a year, getting to know him page turn by page turn. We've done pieces of art together, each adding a little to the drawing and sending it back to the other person. My son Liam just finished creating some really neat Pokemon characters with Russ. I share with Russ about my job. He shares with me about his job in the kitchen, where he earns 19 cents an hour. I share with him about what we have for dinner, and he shares about the food in the cafeteria. I tell him about books that I'm reading, and he tells me about the way the librarian there withholds books from being checked out, or how inmate mail just happens to get lost, often in the recycle bin, or visitors are turned away because a guard who purposely misspells a name on the visitors list that doesn't match the visitor's ID. The worst story is about an inmate who has been in solitary confinement for 19 of his 24 years so far because he helps other inmates fight wrongful imprisonment charges because he's good with the law, and the DOC doesn't like troublemakers. It's bad enough that the inmates are not given full access to education or skill building that will help them find a job when they get out. Education, not incarceration, is my motto. One interesting thing that I found out about our culture is that when I told people I had an inmate pen pal, what do you think was the first question they asked me? What did he do? I said I didn't know, honestly, because Russ said his story was quite painful and would tell me when he was ready. It got me to thinking, though, why was it that always the first question people asked me was, what did he do? We all make bad choices, make mistakes, get caught doing things we regret. But why was it that when people go to prison, that is not what they're stamped with, like the red A in the scarlet letter? So I got to know and appreciate Russ for who he is, not what he did. And do you know that he's a really cool guy who I never would have had the chance to meet had Marie not asked for someone to help a guy who needed a friend? Yes, needed a friend. I write to 6 inmates now, and they all need a friend. Their stories are all different, but the same remains. They need someone to care about them, to take a few minutes a month and give them some hope, something to look forward to. I have one man who has not gotten a letter from anyone in 21 years. 21 years, that's a long time. The CLF program provides inmates all over the country to connect, or the ability to connect with Unitarian Universalists, people wanting to share radical hospitality, people willing to stand behind the first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, and really mean all people. There have been so many studies that have found that, quote, facilitating prisoners' contact with friends and family members while incarcerated through prison visitation, telephone, and mail correspondence has long been a means for improving prisoners' behavior while incarcerated and decreasing the likelihood that prisoners will be rearrested and returned to prison after a release, end quote. It makes sense. If inmates feel better while in prison and have a connection to the outside world, they feel more connected with that interdependent web of existence that we UUs hold sacred. They want that connection. So I encourage you to join in this effort by contacting the Church of the Larger Fellowship to write to an incarcerated person. In a couple of months, we'll invite people to share on a board out in the fellowship hall the first name of their pen pal, their penny that they've picked, so we can witness how many people in our congregation is reaching out who otherwise might not be seen. This is one way I make the world a better place. Come join me.
In the prison ministry program that I mentioned earlier during the Wonderbox time that I worked with in Annapolis, Maryland, I taught a program called Houses of Healing. which is an emotional literacy and emotional healing program for inmates. One of the things I learned right away was that these men were serving time, some of them life sentences, sometimes for violent crime, were just people. I learned the true meaning of our first Unitarian Universalist principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, when I looked into their eyes and I saw my own son or my husband. I saw their humanness and that they weren't monsters or animals. They were people who had made mistakes. Many of the guys in the classes that I taught had experienced incredible trauma as children. It's not true that all people who experience trauma grow up to commit crime, but it is also true that repeated trauma, abuse, neglect, can lead to a lifetime of doubt in one's own self-worth and searching for that worth elsewhere, in drugs, in gangs. Many of the guys in my class were addicted to drugs. They needed rehab, not prison. Many of them had mental illnesses, and they were being undertreated or not treated at all in the prison. They needed medicine and therapy, not prison. Every spring, there was a flock of geese who had made their home in some of the grassy field area between the cell block houses. For some reason, these geese would always come back to this spot. And as is the custom of geese each spring, they would lay eggs, and the eggs would hatch into fuzzy little goslings. One of the men who took our class a few times loved to observe the geese and protect them. If he would realize that they were in the wind or the cold, he would build little temporary shelters out of cardboard boxes and things like that. And then he would come and he would tell us what was going on with the geese. He was emotionally connected to these little birds, probably, possibly, one of the only emotional connections that he had ever experienced outside of our class. Now this guy, he had multiple tattoos and a shaved head and the giant letters of the F word tattooed across the back of his head. He could have grown his hair out and covered that up, but there was a part of him that wanted to appear tough. And then a part of him that wanted to be vulnerable in the only space that he knew how. I remember loving that juxtaposition of his toughness, his tattoos, and then his soft heart, that he wanted good things for these little winged creatures near his cell block. After a couple years of teaching that program, which included 15 weekly sessions, some of the guys had taken the class a few times. They were emerging as leaders. The guys in the class listened to them, trusted them, and so I asked them to be co-facilitators with us. We arranged with the prison staff to meet with these three guys an hour early, 1 hour early, once a month, and in that hour, we would plan ahead for the month's lessons, who would lead which parts, who needed to make a change, etc. It's not like we could just email them if something had to happen in between. So we had to plan ahead in this 1 hour time slot and then trust that it was going to happen. And it did. These men took the responsibility seriously, and they co-taught as equal co-facilitators. They were the inside facilitators alongside our team of volunteer outside facilitators. Now, this is not to say that everyone in prison is completely trustworthy and without problems. Two of my uncles served as correctional officers for their entire careers, and my grandfather was a prison warden. I remember the stories. But I mean, not everyone outside of prison is trustworthy and without problems either, right? So this pen pal program that Teresa participates in is one that I also participated in for 6 years throughout, prior to and during my seminary experience. I had two different pen pals during that time, one for all 6 years and one for four. And one of those guys that I wrote to a few times tried to ask me for money, which is outside of the expectations of that program. And so I had to refuse and set clear, appropriate boundaries. But once he understood that I was only writing to him for friendship and support, we ended up having a wonderful pen pal relationship that lasted for years. Our system is not set up for rehabilitation. It's called the criminal justice system. But when I would use the word justice with the guys in my class, the same way we use the word justice here at the fellowship, they would all cringe. Because the word justice to them has turned into punishment. There are wonderful people who teach, who counsel, who serve, who volunteer in our prisons and jails, but the system itself is designed to be a punishment system. And then the development of the prison industrial complex and for-profit prisons has created an incentive to put more and more people in cages and keep them there longer. In the year 2016, only 2 years ago, our correctional system, which includes prison, jail, parole, and probation, that whole system supervised 6.6 million adults. That is one out of every 38 adults in our country. And almost 1% of adults in our country, one out of 100, is in jail or prison. 1% of adults in our country is in jail or prison, and we have them set aside, put aside, locked away, so that we don't have to see or think about them. And it's also well known, despite the image of the woman blindfolded with the scales, that our justice system is not blind. That far more people of color are arrested for crimes that are committed by people of all races. As of 2010, 39% of people in prison were white, 40% were black. Comparatively, our United States population is 64% white and 13% black. It's clear that the system itself is broken. And I am passionate about work that addresses improving our broken system, especially the school-to-prison pipeline that shuffles children into prisons and the over-policing of many communities of color. ESTER, our local interfaith organization, has a group that works on criminal justice reform. And I encourage you to reach out to ESTER if you're interested in those systemic issues. But these statistics can get overwhelming. And it's important to remember that each one of those people, each one of those 1% of our adult population, is an individual who is caught up in a system that denies their inherent worth and dignity. And even if they do need to serve their sentence, and some of these people do, our Unitarian Universalist faith reminds us that they are not disposable, that we do not throw people away, and that they deserve to be seen, to be acknowledged and not forgotten. May we each do our part to acknowledge the stranger, and if you are called to the ministry of letter writing to an incarcerated person throughout that program that Teresa talked about, there's a link on the back of your order of service where you can get connected and find out more. May we each do our part to see each other, to acknowledge each other, and to remember our inherent worth and dignity. Blessed be, and amen.